with sincere gratitude to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and our very dearly beloved previous acharyas. I welcome you to Sri Govardhan Hill. I have not heard much about His Holiness Srila Jaipathak Swami Maharaj. I tried to reach doctors earlier, but they were not available. But I did indirectly get a message that he has gotten a fever, which is very dangerous to his health. As we have been told from the very beginning, it's a very critical condition that he's in, and the coming of this fever does make it more dangerous to his health. So please, everyone, from your heart of hearts, here at Sri Govardhan Hill, pray to Sri Giriraj, to Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, that if it is their desire to allow our very beloved Srila Jaipathak Swami Maharaj to remain with us and recover. He is in Krishna's hands. We can offer our appeal, and we should have faith that Krishna knows perfectly what is best. Wherever Krishna wants His loving servant, His will be done. But please let us express our own will. We'll take some moments to offer this prayer. Thank you very much. The original Govardhan Puja was organized and managed by Lord Krishna. He had the residents of Vrindavan cook a glorious feast in a place called Anakuta Kshetra. It was offered, which is actually in the same area that we offered our Anakuta today. After it was offered, mountains and mountains and mountains of bhoga, Lord Giriraj personally ate it all and then gave it all back as Mahaprasad. And after distributing this feast and taking the feast, then the next step was there was some mantras and yajnas, and then all the residents of Vrindavan did the parikrama of Sri Giriraj. So in the same sequence, we have offered the Anakuta. All of you have offered. You all had the opportunity to be the Brahmins, to make the offering. How many of you offered the bhoga to Giriraj today, please raise both of your hands and say Hari Bol. There was one formal Brahmin, and there was over 3,000 very, very special intimate offerings of the heart. And as far as yajna, in this age of Kali, Harinam Sankirtan is the prescribed yajna. So we have been performing the yajna. And then tomorrow we will do the parikrama of Sri Giriraj. We are doing everything quite according to the prescription of Lord Sri Krishna. And even, you saw all those mountains of bananas? We purposely left them there for the monkeys. So they are, I'm sure they are blessing all of you. And how they reciprocate by with those blessings, Krishna will reveal. In order, well, tomorrow we were thinking that devotees would very much appreciate doing the full parikrama of Govardhan. How many of you have in one day walked around the whole of Govardhan Hill? Please raise your hands. How many have not? How many of you are sleeping? Usually, we stop at many places. And in past years, it would take us, because we would stop at so many places and have katas in each place, it would take us about 14 to 18 hours. Yes? But that was when we had about 1,000 people. So it would take much longer this time, at least twice as long. And when we started doing it in 2 days, one day half, it would still take about 14 hours each because we had more people. So tomorrow we're not going to stop anywhere except one time for prasad. We're just going to do parikrama. And then the next day is a free day. So any of you can go to any of the places you like, alone or with small groups, like that. I prefer small groups or large groups. Tonight we wanted to, through sound vibration, do parikrama of Govardhan Hill. Narrate some of the stories of the prominent places. Of course, some of these places, individual place, there's entire books written about. So we are only going to give a very small summary. The oceanic glories of Sri Giriraj are impossible to calculate. What to speak about. But as a bird goes as high as its capacity within the sky, So similarly, it is our, for our own purification and our service to the Lord and the Vaishnavas, to speak what we can speak. The origin of Govardhan Hill in the spiritual world is explained in the Garga Samhita, wherein Narada Muni is explaining to Bahulasva. There it is described that in Goloka Vrindavan, during the Rasa Leela, Srimati Radharani spoke to Krishna, "If you are pleased with me, if you are pleased with the gopis, our Rasa Leela, and the forest of Vrindavan, please fulfill the desire of my heart." Krishna responded that my only desire is to please you. Srimati Radharani, she expressed her desire. "Please create a supremely pleasurable place for us to enjoy our pastimes in the forest of Vrindavan." Krishna said, "So be it." He closed his eyes and looked deep in his heart. Krishna searched for the essence of his own love. And the essence of his love manifested from his heart as a seed of bliss, which was in the form of fire and water. It fell in the circle of the rasa dance, then grew into a rock, then a hill, then a mountain. On that mountain manifested waterfalls, streams, forests of trees, caves, animals, birds, and so many other wonderful, wonderful living beings. Radha and Krishna and all of the gopis, they climbed Govardhan Hill to explore its various treasures. This is how Govardhan manifests in the spiritual world. When Krishna promised Lord Brahma that he would descend, he descends in his original form only once in a day of Brahma. He approached Srimati Radharani and expressed that you too should descend with me into the material world. Srimati Radharani revealed her heart to Krishna that I will find no happiness there unless there is Govardhan Hill, the river Yamuna, and the forests of Vrindavan. Krishna said, "I have already sent them ahead." Govardhan descended from the spiritual world of Goloka to a place called Samaliweep, just west of Bharatvarsha, and took birth as the son of Dronachala. When he came down, he was declared by everyone to be the king of all mountains within the universe, because everyone knew that he had descended directly from Goloka Vrindavan. In the Satyayuga, Pulastya Muni was traveling to various holy places. And in his travels, he saw Govardhan, the most beautiful of all forests on that hill. His residence was in Kashi. He went to Dronachala and said, I want to take your son to Kashi, because I could see that if I meditate on these pleasant mountain forests, I will certainly attain the highest happiness and achieve liberation. Govardhan's father wept tears. Impossible. How could he bear separation from his son? But then Govardhan, understanding his mission in this world, he told his father, I will go. I want to go. But he told Pulastya Muni that under one condition, anywhere you put me down, I will remain there. So Pulastya Muni picked up Govardhan. He was a mystic yogi. He had that power. Not physical power, mystical power. And as they were going above Vrindavan, Govardhan understood, this is the place. This is the place of my eternal lila. So he started to become very heavy. And also, Krishna, who's the supreme controller of all controllers, wanted Govardhan in Vrindavan. So you know how he controlled Pulastya Muni? By giving him an uncontrollable urge to respond to the call of nature, which is a very sophisticated way of saying he really had to pass urine. So he put Govardhan down. And responded to nature's calls. He came back to lift Govardhan back, but Govardhan would not move. With both of his hands, he was struggling, he was straining, but Giriraj would not move from that place because he was in the forest of Vrindavan. So Pulastya Muni cursed Govardhan. That because you would not come with me, every day you will sink into the ground the size of one mustard seed. Now for Govardhan, this was a very good thing, because he knew Krishna would be coming at the end of Dwapara Yuga. And at that time he was very, very high. He was really, really a high mountain. And that was just the right amount of shrinking so that he would be the perfect size for Krishna and the cowherd boys and Sri and the gopis to have wonderful pastimes playing all around him. In the Treta Yuga, near Rameshwaram, Hanumanji and the monkeys were building a bridge across the Indian Ocean to Sri Lanka. And Lord Sri Ram told the different monkey soldiers to get big, big stones to float in the ocean. And specifically Hanuman was told to bring mountains, because according to one's capacity, one engages in devotional service. So Hanumanji was looking for very nice mountains to bring, knowing that they would be supremely blessed because Ram and all of his devotees would walk upon them. So he saw Govardhan and decided this will be perfect. And Hanuman, with all of his strength, tried to lift Govardhan Hill. Hanuman ki jai. But Sri Govardhan would not move. So he tried harder. Still Govardhan would not move. Hanuman understood this is a very special, exalted mountain. So Sri Giriraj remained as he was, And Hanuman offered his dandavat obeisances to Giriraj. And then did parikrama around him. And then Hanuman said to Giriraj that actually I only want to do something wonderful for you. We're building a bridge for the Supreme Lord Sri Ramchandra to cross over to Sri Lanka. I want you to assist in my Lord Ram's Leela. You will get the dust of his lotus feet and all of his devotees. And then Govardhan became very excited. He said, I will go, let's go. And just as he was about to pick him up again, and Govardhan was willing to go, a voice spoke from the sky. Hanuman, the bridge is complete. Bring no more mountains. Govardhan was very brokenhearted. I wanted to serve Ram, to get the dust of his feet, to be a part of his Leela. So Hanuman said, I will express your desire to Sri Ramchandra when I return to South India. So he went to Setu Banda, and there he explained about the glories of Govardhan to Sri Ram and told him Govardhan's desire. And Lord Ram told Hanuman, go back and tell him, I want him to stay in Vrindavan. Because I will incarnate again in my original form, my highest, most complete form of Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna at the end of the Dwapar Yuga in Vrindavan Dham. If he were to come now, I would just walk across him. But in Vrindavan, I will play on him with my gopas and my gopis every day, all day. He will be more dear to me than my life. He will be Haridas Varya, the dearest of all devotees. In fact, for 7 days and seven nights, I will lift him with my own hand. And he will be witness to the most intimate and wonderful pastimes of the spiritual world. Tell him to be patient. So Hanumanji jumped back to Vrindavan and gave Giriraj that great hope. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimati Radharani, she declares Govardhan Hill to be Haridas Varya, which means most beloved, intimate, greatest of all devotees. Sometimes that name was given to Yudhisthira Maharaj, sometimes to Uddhava. But more than anyone else, Sri Radharani is declaring that of Govardhan. And she explains why. Because she is giving, Govardhan is giving the greatest satisfaction to Krishna and Balaram and the gopas and the gopis. And is supplying wonderful grass and nectarine waters for the cows, for the calves, for the cowherd boys. And wonderful caves for the gopas and the gopis to perform their leelas. And nectarine waterfalls and lakes for them to drink and to play in and to bathe. In this way, Govardhan is very expert in the spirit of the servant of the servant of the servant to give pleasure to all those who are dear to the Lord. Our acharyas called Govardhan the Tilak of Braj Bhumi. And although he is none different than Krishna himself, he also is acting in his pastimes as the greatest devotee of Krishna. In the role of a devotee, He is always feeling the highest spiritual ecstasies due to having the lotus feet of Krishna and his dearmost devotees always upon him. Go means the cows. Varadhan means to protect, to give pleasure to. The grass of Govardhan is compared to his hair standing on end in spiritual ecstasy. The grass of Govardhan is constantly watered by the milk of the Surabhi cows, which is the expression of their own very dear affection. And therefore, along with the shining of the sun, the grass has four wonderful qualities. One is, it is sugandha. It is intoxicatingly fragrant. Just by smelling these grasses, the cows go mad. The gopas go mad. The gopis go mad. More than even the sweetest flower in the world today. That is how sweet every single blade of grass is on Govardhan Hill at the time of Lord Krishna. Because Giriraj is manifesting those grasses, every blade of grass is an expression of his love for Krishna and the devotees. And each piece of grass is sukomala, which means very soft, very tender, even in the summer season. Usually grass in India in the summer season, either it doesn't exist, or it's very dry and hard and crispy. But sukomala, always tender, always succulent. And the cows just, besides the flavor and the fragrance, just the texture of the grass in their mouth gives them ecstasy. They just chew and they chew and they chew, and the touch of it on their tongue and on their lips and in their mouth just makes them cry in happiness. They're tasting the loving offering of Shri Giriraj. And that grass is Pushti Vardhana. When the cows eat it, it gives them excellent health. After eating this grass, there's no hunger, no disease, no fatigue. It just nourishes them, enlivens them, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And the grass is dugdha sampak, which means after eating that grass and being digested by the cows, it creates the supreme milk for Krishna. At Pavan Sarovar, Srimati Radharani, when she cooks for Krishna, various, and Yashoda Mai as well, they take this cow milk that is produced by the grasses of Sri Govardhan Hill. The tears of love of Giriraj forms the lakes, the streams, and the waterfalls. It is explained there that it is not just water. It is the liquid prema from the heart of Giriraj. The touch is cool. The taste is nectar. more than any nectar that the demigods have ever experienced in the heavenly planets. The demigods, we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Puranas, in the Vedas, how much eager they are for the amrita, the nectar. But multiply that nectar by millions of times, and that's what the cows and calves are eating all day, every day on Govardhan Hill. Shri Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. The gopas and the gopis and Krishna and Balaram, when they drink the water of these streams and rivers, they become intoxicated. People have a tendency toward becoming intoxicated. The origin of that is the intoxicating nature of our love. We're all looking for that intoxication. In the absence of that intoxication, we're looking for so many other forms, which only dulls our consciousness and brings us further away from the real essence we're looking for. This intoxication, please do not mistake it for the beer and the liquor and the ganja and all the other drugs and alcoholic beverages of this world. That just deranges your subtle body and your gross body. This intoxicates us with love for Krishna. Intoxicates the gopas and the gopis with love for each other. When they drink the water from these kundas of Sri Giriraj, they cry, they scream, they roll in the grass, they sing, and they dance. They swim in that nectar. They play wonderful games that nectar. They drink that nectar. The gopis were thinking that Govardhan is so fortunate. We have to do tapasya. Just with the hope and the dream that someday we will be embraced by Krishna. But in the waters of Govardhan, in the kundas and the lakes, Govardhan is constantly embracing Krishna and Balaram and all of his friends in front of everybody, and nobody minds. The waterfalls sing beautiful, beautiful songs, and the trees and the fruits of Govardhan, each one of them is filled with succulent, ripe, sweet fruits and fragrant flowers. And the dew in the morning is the ecstatic emotion of perspiration on Govardhan's body. And the stones of Govardhan Hill, they are all personally engaging in Krishna service. Each and every pebble, each and every stone, when any of Krishna or his associates step upon it, it becomes very soft, like cotton. Sometimes when Krishna plays his flute, the stones of Govardhan Hill melt. There are many stones that can still be today with Krishna's footprints, Balaram's crown print, the cow's footprints, Krishna's cane's, his cowherd stick's footprints, melting in ecstasy. And in that melting in ecstasy is preaching the glory of Vrindavan Leela. Because any devotee for all time to come who sees those footprints of Krishna in Govardhan Hill will be delivered from birth and death. It will be on the road back home, back to Godhead. the jagged stones, when any of Krishna's associates step upon it, it turns into fragrant flowers. In the summer, the stones are cool. In the winter, they are warm. The caves of Govardhan Hill. The gopas and the gopis enjoy pastimes in those caves. Also, in the summer they're cool. In the winter they're warm. They have soft beds, lamps of jewels, mirrors, floors. Just the perfect abodes for the Lord to enjoy. In this way, the gopis praise Govardhan Hill for facilitating the most pleasurable pastimes of Krishna and his devotees. Tomorrow, we will be beginning the parikrama from here. Yes? That is the plan from here. We will begin our parikrama through sound vibration just now. But we will begin at Manasi Ganga. Is everyone present? Thank you. Traditionally, Govardhan Parikrama, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he did Govardhan Parikrama, he began by taking bath in Manasi Ganga. The story of this place is very special. When you were at Bandiraban, you heard the story of the demon who appeared in the guise of a little calf. His name was? Louder? Batsasura. Yes, thank you. Batsasura assumed the most innocent, sweet form of a little calf with the intention to murder Krishna. But Krishna, very quietly, along with Balaram, came from behind him, picked him up by the hind legs, whirled him around, and whirled him around so fast that he died. He resumed his original ghastly Rakshasa form. Then he was thrown to the top of a kapita tree. And all the fruits came down. And the cowherd boys got to eat those fruits. But then the gopas, they complained to Krishna that you killed a calf. Calf is a baby cow. Gopal means protect cow. You kill cow. We don't want to play with you anymore. We will be contaminated by the sin of killing calf. Krishna said, what do I have to do? He said, you should bathe in the Ganges, Ganga. So Krishna did not want to leave Vrindavan. So in his mind, he meditated on Mother Ganga and invited her to manifest in Vrindavan. And Ganga Devi appeared by the power of Krishna's mind in as Manasi Ganga. So all the gopas, they were very happy. Krishna took his bath. One day, Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men, they were hearing the glories of the river Ganges. They heard a story how one time Garuda caught a snake. It was flying with the snake over the Ganges River. But as it was flying, the tail of the snake happened to just touch the water of the Ganga. Immediately, that snake took a forearm form of a resident of Vaikuntha. Garuda put the personality on his back and flew him back home, back to Godhead. So the Vrijavasi said, we want to bathe in the Ganges too. So they began to pack their ox carts for a yatra through the Ganga. Krishna saw. He said, where are you going? They said, we're going to Ganga. We will get liberated if we bathe in Ganga. Krishna said, there's no reason to leave Vrindavan. All the holy places are in Vrindavan. Ganga's in Vrindavan. They said, what do you mean Ganga's in Vrindavan? Ganga's far from here. He said, no, no, I'll show you. Come with me. Krishna took them by the hand to Manasi Ganga. And right when they came to Manasi Ganga, emerging from the water of Manasi Ganga, Ganga Devi, the goddess of the Ganga, appeared riding on her crocodile, smiling and blessing all the Vrijavasis. They knew for sure that Krishna brought Ganga here. That happened on Diwali, the moonless night of Kartik, and all the Vrijavasis blissfully took their bath in the river Ganges. And even today, all around Manasi Ganga on Diwali, the Vrijavasis put lamps to honor this beautiful pastime. Jiva Goswami explains some of the wonderful pastimes Krishna performs in Manasi Ganga. In those days during Krishna's time, Manasi Ganga was very, very big. And one time gopis, they wanted to cross, but it was getting to be night and there were no boatmen around. Krishna disguised himself as a boatman. They said, boatman, how much will it cost to take us across? He said, you have on your heads pots of sweetmeats and ghee and yogurt and milk. Just give me some of the sweetmeats and I will take you across. So there's some negotiation and it was resolved. So he ate a lot. And when he was about halfway, he started rowing the boat. When he was halfway across Manasi Ganga, he said, I'm too hungry. I can't go on anymore. Give me more. So they gave him so much more, and he ate, and he ate, and he ate. And then he said, now I'm too full. I have to lay on my left side. So he laid in the boat, and he said, you should massage my arms and my legs. And the gopis said, we will take your arms and legs and throw you off the boat if you don't take us across this river. So he started rowing again. Then he said, the boat's sinking. He started shaking the boat. He said, the boat is sinking. There's too much weight on this boat. Throw all your pots in Manasi Ganga. So they took all the pots and threw it. He said, it's still too heavy. We'll never make it. Throw all your jewelry off. So he threw all his jewelry off. He said, it's still too heavy. We're going to sink. Throw all your clothes off. The gopi said, we will throw you off if you don't row us across. He said, all right. So he started rowing. Then by Krishna's own arrangement, rain clouds, storm clouds were forming in the sky. And he started shaking the boat. And he actually also had a little hole in the boat that he unplugged for water started coming in. He said, we're going to sink. He said, very difficult. He said, the boat is going to sink. And at that time, because he knew the heart of Sri Radharani, it looked hopeless. So she put her arms around him and said, please save us, please save us. And the gopis wondered, why did you do that? And then she pulled out from behind him Krishna's flute to show the gopis. And in this way, they perform beautiful pastimes in the boat throughout the night in Manasi Ganga. After bathing in Manasi Ganga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the temple of Hadidev. In the western petal of the lotus of Brajbhumi, this deity installed by Vajranab, the great grandson of Krishna, presides. The origin of this deity is explained by our scriptures and our acharyas. That one day, the gopis, headed by Sri Radharani, were feeling intense separation from Lord Krishna. They were supposed to meet him on the banks of Manasi Ganga. But time was passing, and their separation was becoming unbearable. So they started to call out, Hadidev, Hadidev, Hadidev. And in response to their calling out his holy name, a deity manifested right before them. The deity of Krishna in a seven-year-old form with his left hand holding up Govardhan Hill. And from that time, every day the gopis would worship that deity of Hadidev, knowing that he was Krishna himself. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came there, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, for many, many hours he danced in transcendental ecstasy before Hadidev. And all the people of Govardhan village and the villages around here crowded into the temple to see the extraordinary dance of love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he induced everyone to raise their arms and chant the holy name. Inundating the town of Govardhan with Krishna praying, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was honored with garlands and Mahaprasad of Haridev by the pujaris. Maharaj Man Singh, one of the generals of the Emperor Akbar, built the Govindaji. He helped to build the Govindaji temple in Vrindavan. It is said that his father, Bhagavan Das, who was also a great general, built the current temple of Hadidev in Govardhan. After bathing in Manasi Ganga and having the darshan of Hadidev, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took rest that night on the banks of Brahmakund. We heard in Govardhan Leela how Indra invited all the devatas to bathe Krishna. The water in which Brahma collected in bathing Lord Sri Krishna is today contained in Brahmakund. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rested there. And also Lord Nityananda Prabhu, when he came to Govardhan, he also rested on the banks of Brahmakund. Near Manasi Ganga is the presiding Devi of Govardhan. Her name is Manasi Devi. Vajranab installed four devis in the four directions of Vrindavan. Do you all know the names? Today in Kamyavan it is Vrinda Devi. Previously she was in Vrindavan. And there is Vrinda Devi in Kamyavan, Yogamaya in Vrindavan, and Patalishwar Devi in Mathura. Also near Manasi Ganga is Mukharavinda. Govardhan Hill is none different than the body of Krishna. And it is explained that Govardhan's body is like a peacock whose face is turned into his chest, toward his heart, the way peacocks often rest. Mukharavinda is the mouth of Govardhan. It is a Shila, or he is a Shila, at Manasi Ganga. And you will see at any time many, many people offering sweetmeats, offering bhoga, offering milk, offering yogurt, offering ghee, offering garlands to the mouth of Giriraj. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he confirmed according to Guru Sadhu and Shastra that this is the mouth of Sri Govardhan Hill. Also in the area of Manasi Ganga is Chakaleshwar Mahadev. Vajranab installed 5 deities of Lord Shiva in Nandagaon, Nandeshwar Mahadev, in Kamyavan, Kameshwar Mahadev, in Mathura, Bhuteshwar Mahadev, in Vrindavan, Gopeshwar Mahadev, and at Govardhan, Chakaleshwar Mahadev. When Sanatan Goswami was in his elder years, he entrusted the worship of Madan Mohan in Vrindavan to one of his disciples and came to live at Govardhan Hill. He was residing in a bhajan kutir, which is still there today, just next to Chakaleshwar Mahadev. You have heard the famous story. At that time, he was being tormented by gigantic, blood-sucking mosquitoes. And he was trying to write his literatures on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and do his bhajan. And he felt it was too much disturbance. So he decided the next day he would leave that place for a more suitable place to do his bhajan and his seva. But Lord Shiva could not tolerate the thought of the separation of his dear friend, an intimate associate, Sanatan Goswami. This is the power of a Vaishnava's love. Even the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva, is begging for the mercy of a great soul like Sanatan Goswami, longing for the association. There is nothing so precious as the association of a great Vaishnava. We should long for that association. And when we have the association of a Vaishnava, we should feel so grateful. And how do we express that gratitude? Through our service. So Lord Shiva wanted to serve Sanatan Goswami. Being the Ishwara, the Lord of all the devatas, he approached the demigod who is the superintendent of insects and ordered him, "I never want to see another mosquito at my Chakaleshwar Mahadev temple." Meanwhile, Lord Shiva appeared as a Brahmin and approached Sanatan Goswami and said, "Please, Goswamiji, no more mosquitoes will come. Just stay one more night. Try it one more night." So Sanatan Goswami remained, and for the rest of his pastimes, many, many years to come,
No mosquito ever came to his bhajan kutir.
Sri Shankar Bhagavan ki jai. Very interesting, because he did not ask himself for any relief. He was really to just go somewhere else. We should not ask the demigods for personal benefits. We should not ask Krishna for personal benefits. We should ask for service. That's all Sanatana Goswami wanted, is to serve. He was so humble. But the Lord, by His own love, reciprocates. And in this case, out of His deep attachment and love for Sanatana Goswami, arranged for this personal benefit. Every day, Sanatana Goswami would perform Govardhan Parikrama. Now, I heard that some of you are a little scared about tomorrow. How will I walk? 21 kilometers, 14 miles in the hot sun with all the dust, barefoot. Well, somehow or other, I'll do it. But Sanatana Goswami, even in his old age, he did it every day. And he did the wide parikrama. The inner parikrama is 14 miles. The outer parikrama is about 24 miles. Chandra Sarovar, Paita, those places. He did that every day. And even when he was becoming quite old, it was becoming very difficult. But it was his service to the Lord. It was for the pleasure of the Lord. Parikrama is not just a ritual. It's not just something to get done. It's actually an act of worship. And Krishna sees the purpose in which we do things, not just what we do. He reciprocates with our bhava, with our feeling, with our intention. Every step we're taking around Govardhan Hill, it's an act of expression of our love for Krishna. Krishna originally inaugurated this Govardhan Parikrama. Giriraj is Krishna himself. Just like we worship the deity with arti, we worship the deity by bathing him, by dressing him, by offering him bhoga. Yes? We worship the holy name by, with great feeling and very sincere attention, chanting. We worship Srimad Bhagavatam by reading, by speaking, by hearing, by remembering. We worship Ganga by bathing in her, by drinking her waters for our purification. So different forms of the Lord we worship in particular ways as methods of expressing our love for the Lord and becoming purified through the process. So Govardhan, who is Haridas Varaya, the most intimate supreme of the devotees of the Lord, and who is also the Lord himself, who is Kamagiri, who fulfills all our innermost soul's spiritual desires. The way we show our love to Govardhan, the way we worship Govardhan, is by performing the parikrama.
But how do we perform the parikrama?
It is a matter of consciousness. If we're walking around talking gossip or speaking political matters or chastising or criticizing people as we're going around Govardhan Hill, do you think we're going to make much spiritual progress? Our spiritual progress is to the extent we please Krishna. We have to have the right intent. It is an austerity, but it's an austerity to put the concept of austerity, tapo divyam putra kayena sattvam, is we put our own personal needs and wants second to what pleases Krishna, what pleases Guru, and what pleases the Vaishnavas. That is tapasya. And we should do it joyfully. So as we're walking around Govardhan Hill, we should have grateful hearts. We should be thinking that the reality of this is, it has taken me millions and millions and millions of births, hundreds of millions of births, millions of births, to get the opportunity to come to Vrindavan and to Govardhan Parikrama. In this entire universe of Lord Brahma, the holiest planet is the earth, because it's where the Supreme Lord performs his most intimate pastimes. And the most holy part of this earth is Bharat, or India, because Ram and Krishna and so many other incarnations have appeared here. And in all of India, the holiest of all places is the district of Mathura, because Krishna was born here. And of all places in Mathura, the holiest place is the forest of Vrindavan, because it is here that Krishna enjoys with Srimati Radharani's gopis and gopas the most pleasing pastimes. And in all of the forest of Vrindavan, the holiest of all holy places is Govardhan Hill, because the sweetest pastimes are performed on and around Sri Giriraj. And in all of Govardhan Hill, the holiest place is Radha Kund and Shama Kund. Who are we? Abramabhuvanaloka punaravartanorjuna. From the highest planet to this material existence to the lowest, they're all places of misery. We've been going up and down and up and down in so many species of life. What possible good fortune by the grace of Vaishnavas that we're allowed to be in the Vrindavan forest at Govardhan Hill doing the Govardhan Parikrama in the association of over 3,000 devotees. Cannot be calculated. As we do this Govardhan Parikrama tomorrow, we should be, even if we're sick, even if we're tired, we should be joyful. We should be happy. Why should we be happy? Because we have this good fortune. We don't know how long we will live. We may die tomorrow. But we have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to perform the same act of worship that Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, what they craved and longed to do, the Govardhan Parikrama. By Srila Prabhupada's infinite, causeless mercy. Unless we understand the value of something, we will not really give our heart's attention to honoring it. the dust of Vrindavan. Every grain is more precious than all the wealth in Brahma or Indra Loka. What to speak of the wealth in this world? Because it is Chintamani. If we accept that dust with the proper intention, it can awaken ecstatic prema, love of God, within our heart. Krishna is accessible through the dust of Vrindavan if we have the proper attitude to accept it. And how much dust you will receive tomorrow during the Govardhan Parikrama. Every little stone and pebble of Govardhan Hill is a supremely worshipable deity, none different than Radha and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had one little stone, a shila this big. It was the most precious possession of his life. Who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He's the husband of the goddess of fortune. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He's the proprietor of everything that exists in all material and spiritual worlds. In fact, in Navadvip, he was married to Vishnupriya, who was the goddess of fortune. And he left her when he took sannyas. And what was his deep attachment to this stone from Govardhan Hill? In the mood of Srimati Radharani, he was not seeing it as a stone. He was seeing it as the body of Krishna. He would cry. That Giriraj was constantly moistened by the tears of his love. He would put it on his forehead, press it to his eyes, and to his heart of hearts. In fact, the love in which he would hold it, the shila melted in ecstasy, and his thumbprint is still there for us to see today. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Govardhan, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, the first stone he saw of Govardhan Hill, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into a state of ecstasy. He ran to that shila as the body of Krishna and embraced him and wept tears, almost unconscious, as he was embracing this Govardhan shila. Every single petal, every single stone of Giriraj, that is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeing. That is the reality. Is Krishna's eternal self-manifesting form. But we cannot take it cheaply. It is offensive for an unqualified person without being showered upon blessings and permissions of Guru and the great souls to take a single pebble outside of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada wrote that in a letter too. It is an offense to take any stone from Govardhan Hill outside of Vrindavan without the profuse blessings of Guru and the Vaishnavas. One has to be very qualified to do this. So no one, please take any stone of Govardhan away from the hill. So Sanatana Goswami, he would do this parikrama every day. And we will be following in his footsteps tomorrow. And let our consciousness be very, very fixed on our good fortune. Constantly we should be chanting the holy names. Constantly we should be meditating on Krishna, his names and his pastimes with grateful heart. And we are doing it for the pleasure of Giriraj, as a seva to Giriraj. And to the degree each and every one of us is enthusiastic and cheerful and devotional in our parikrama, we are doing tremendous service to all the Vaishnavas. And to perform that service at Govardhan Hill is our supreme good fortune. But Sanatan Goswami in his very old age, doing every day, it was becoming very difficult. So one day Krishna appeared in the guise of a little cowherd boy and said, Sanatan, why? You don't have to go all the way around Govardhan every day. You are old. Sanatan Goswami said, it is my service to the Lord. I have taken a vow to do Govardhan Parikrama every day. This time he was about 70 years old. So that cowherd boy climbed on top of Govardhan Hill and played his flute. And as he played his flute, the stone from Govardhan Hill that he was standing on melted. He brought the Shila down, and it had the footprint of Krishna, and it also had cow prints and cowherd stick prints in it. And that little cowherd boy brought that Shila back to Sanatan Goswami's Bhajan Kutir and told him, if you circumambulate this 7 times, you will get the same benefit is doing the full Govardhan Parikrama. This is the love of Krishna for his devotee. So concerned for the health of his devotee. Krishna himself brought the Shila and carried it all the way. Krishna's ultimate pleasure is to serve his devotees. And the devotee's ultimate pleasure is to serve Krishna. This is Vrindavan, the place of loving service. On Guru Purnima every year, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Raghava Pandit, all these great souls and many, many Brijabasis would come to meet Sanatan Goswami at Chakaleshwar Mahadev. And together they would do parikrama of Manasi Ganga. One year they came, and Sanatan Goswami was sitting. They waited and waited and waited until they discovered that he had attained Mahasamadhi. He had left his body behind to enter into Krishna's eternal pastimes in Goloka. Their hearts were broken. Sanatan was gone. He was the senior most and like the guru for all the Goswamis. In fact, Sanatan Goswami was considered to be the guru of the whole Brajabhumi. Everyone loved him. Wherever he would go, people could not give up his association. He would travel around doing Madhukari from village to village to village. When he would come to a village, everyone would be there to greet him. They would be chanting the holy names as he instructed them. They would welcome him into their homes. And he knew everyone so personally. How is your health? How is your children's education? And your oxen? Are they in good health? And are your cows giving good milk? And how are your crops growing this year? And what about this problem we discussed last year? In this way, he was the intimate friend, counselor, and guru for everyone. He would speak Harikatha, Hari Kirtan, personally discuss their lives. Throughout the day and the night, they would bring him the best of the foods that they had. And the next morning, when it was time to be leaving, everyone in the village would be weeping and crying at the outskirts, offering their love and their tears as Sanatan Goswami departed. And when he would arrive at the next village, they would all be celebrating. And the next morning, they would all be weeping. That was Sanatan Goswami. He gave his life, his heart, dhira dhira, whether one was gentle or ruffian. The six Goswamis, their love, their compassion was unconditional. And people could feel that unconditional compassion. And even bad people, their hearts had to melt in the presence of Sanatan Goswami. When he passed away from this world, the news spread throughout Brajadham, and hundreds and thousands of people gathered. And his body was brought to Vrindavan, where his samadhi is just close to Madan Mohan Temple. But every year on Guru Purnima, the maximum number of Brijavasis perform the Govardhan Parikrama. Originally, this tradition is in honor of the disappearance of Srila Sanatan Goswami. Should I continue?
I was hoping you would say that. Thank you.
After we pass Manasi Ganga, we will come to Krishna Vedi or Dangati. Dana Keli Komodi is a book by Srila Jiva Goswami. At Radhakund, Raghunath Das Goswami was residing, and he was given a copy of the manuscript, which was carved in palm leaves. That is how the six Goswami were compiling their books, or writing their books. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw a palm leaf with a verse written by Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into ecstasy. This was in Puri. Lord Chaitanya said about Rupa Goswami's handwriting that it is like rows of pearls. What to speak of the content of what he wrote. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Ramananda Rai Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya Haridas Thakur, the greatest of his intimate associates of Puri, that seeing the humility and the devotion of Rupa Goswami, and the Dasa Swameda Ghat in Prayag For 10 days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the essence of the goal of life. And he embraced Rupa Goswami and told his devotees that the love, the realization, the knowledge of my heart, I have invested within the heart of Srila Rupa Goswami. And I have empowered him to reveal it to the whole world. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam. The heart, the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been invested within the heart of Rupa Goswami. And who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. It's Radha Krishna in the loving feelings of Sri Radha. Rupa Goswami, the six Goswamis, when they were writing about the pastimes of Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani, it was not compositions of a poetic mind. It was revelation of the pastimes of the spiritual world. They are revealing the highest reality of Goloka Vrindavan to this world through their writings. He gave a copy of Lalita Madhava to Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Therein it describes Srimati Radharani and the gopis' love in separation. Reading about the separation of the Brijabasis, Raghunath Das Goswami was crying day and night. He was just eating hardly a palmful of buttermilk every day, but he couldn't even do that. At the most, he was sleeping 1.5 hours a day, but he couldn't even do that. The devotees were really worried whether he would survive. He was feeling so deeply the separation he was reading about from Rupa Goswami's books. There are many wonderful stories of how when great devotees in the Sri Sampradaya, there is Kulashekar, when he would hear Ramayana, it wasn't just a reading. He would live whatever he heard. Do you remember that story? He heard about Ram looking for Sita, how Ravana stole her and brought her to Sri Lanka, and King Kulashekar, he called for his entire army and said, "Now we will attack Sri Lanka. We cannot tolerate this." And he led the army. And his generals, they were telling him, "This happened millions of years ago." But his absorption in Ramayana is it's happening now. It's an eternal leela. The armies came to the brink of the ocean. It was millions of soldiers. How are they going to cross the ocean? There was no bridge. He was so enthusiastic, he said, "Follow me." And he just ran into the ocean with his sword up above his head. Came up to his neck. He kept running. He was underwater. His soldiers were at the shore. They were crying, praying to Ram, "Save our king." And ultimately Ram came and said, he came with Sita and with Lakshman, and they came and they pulled him out of the ocean and said, Ram said, I already defeated Ravana. I already destroyed his whole kingdom. And you see, I have Sita. She's right here. So let me take you back. This is how devotees absorb themselves in hearing the pastimes of the Lord. When we're reading Bhagavad Gita, it's not just a historical document from 5,000 years ago. Srila Prabhupada explained, when you read Bhagavad Gita, if you're really absorbed, if you're actually attentive to the truth, Krishna is speaking to you directly today. It's being reenacted. And when we hear Krishna's transcendental pastimes, it's not just a record of history. That is there also. But the reality is, those pastimes are being enacted at the very moment we are hearing them. Because through transcendental sound vibration, it's none different from Krishna, his associates, and his lila. And we can access the essence of the truth according to our absorption. We should be absorbed. Raghunath Das Goswami, hearing about Radharani's separation from Krishna, in his mood as a maidservant of Radharani, it was unbearable. He couldn't eat. He couldn't sleep. He could only cry. And devotees went to Rupa Goswami and said, your book is killing our guru. So he brought another book, the Dana Keli Kamodi, which is a very pleasing, joking pastime about the meeting of Radha and Krishna, having pastimes of tax at Dangati, where Srimati Radharani with her gopis would be carrying golden pots of ghee to a yajna, and Krishna, his parrot would tell him about their coming, and he would come with his friends with sticks and block the pathway and say, you have to give us your milk products if you want to pass. And they would have so many loving exchanges of arguments and discussions. When Raghunath Das Goswami read this, Rupa Goswami took the Lalita Madhava away. And he read this and he became very blissful and started eating his little pat of buttermilk again and sleeping 1 hour a day. He was so happy. So that wonderful pastime, the eternal lila of Krishna taxing the gopis, takes place at Dangati. And then we will come to Dana Nivartan Kund. Raghunath Das Goswami wrote a book called the Dan Keli Chintamani, which elaborately describes a beautiful pastime that takes place there. Is that where we did our offering today? Dana Nivartan Kund? One of the holiest of all holy places in all of Brajbhumi. This is where we performed our Anakuta offering to Sri Giriraj today. The way the story is, Vasudev was very concerned with the welfare of Krishna Balaram. So he arranged for Bhaguri Muni to perform a yajna for their safety and their protection at Govindakund.